This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Me and Duke and Gabby Sparks on coverage? Doesn't work, man. It
doesn't work. They don't have chemistry.
It's two people that don't know what they're talking about.
Yep.
Ian Duke's a very good guy, and you know what? Hey, this is the new set. Ian, talk about it. The man is better than anyone.
Yep.
Maybe Mark Rosewater's better, but like, he's that.
No, I really like listening to Ian Duke because he's like,
you know, you're right.
He might be better than Mark Rosewater. Like, not excited.
Sorry, Mark Rosewater's hype.
Exactly.
But Ian Duke is explaining the mechanics. And
very, very good.
Probably better than anyone I've ever seen. Way better than Randy.
It's him and LSV. Like, it's like those two. And LSV is here.
But
Ian is here.
Okay.
And there's no one even close.
But here's the problem. LSV can do anything. LSV is one of those people that if I was in charge of Wizards, I'm like, here's the money for your house. I just buy
Give me the
house.
Number. What's
I'd
the number?
Like, pick a house. And come
Where
live.
You want to live?
Mark Rosewater. We bought a house next door to him. You are now hired for life. And it's so retarded to not do that. Like, I don't understand. But, like, he's worth it. Like,
infinite.
Like,
there's no value.
Him, Patrick Chapin, Patrick Sullivan, all the guys working
Cedric
at
Phillips.
Dire Wolf.
Yeah.
Those guys should not be working there. Because they're puts it. You know what they're making? A game no one cares about. No one will ever play.
Yep.
No one gives a fuck about. You're wasting their talent. And you have people at work at Wizards that are fucking idiots.
No idea what's going on.
But they don't care. They're in this old weird world of
a bunch
like,
of suits around a table, right?
Like, they're not even suits. Have you seen it? Like, it's just, oh my god. These people are the next game. Mark Rosewater is getting old. Mark Rosewater should be looking for his fucking replacement.
Sure.
I've said Ian Duke could be that. I think he's very smart. But Collingwood, hire these five fucking pros, and then you know what you do? This is what blows my mind. You know, you're worried about coverage. Oh, we don't want to pay people coverage. Blah, blah, blah. Hire
It's a part of their job.
Hire Patrick Chief and Patrick Sullivan, and guess what you do? Hey, guys, you design the game, and you fucking go here and do this.
Yeah.
And you know what? If they say, well, we don't really want to work for you because, you know, we like playing the game at a high level. Okay, no problem. You can play on the Pro Tour, or we'll find a way so that there is a super high level for them to play at that doesn't affect the integrity of the
Pro. Or you're on a 5-year contract with 8-month spans. You can work on 3 sets, and then you can not, you know, like something like that.
I don't know. But like,
there's options. You can be creative.
Here's what's funny. They're all, like, all the guys that hit the Hall of Fame, it's to a point where, like, I get it. You guys want to make these runs, but every one of them, if you said, hey, you got a kid, you have a wife, do you want stability for the next 20 years, or do you want to have a shot at a Pro Tour? Come on, they're not that bad. They're going to make smart decisions and say, you know what, you're right.
Generally, they do. That's how they became pros.
So imagine that. I wouldn't have to deal with all the amateur people that are infecting the coverage booth, which, I'm sorry, I love you guys. I love that you're amateurs. I love that, you know, I love a lot of things. I do not love you on coverage. You're not a professional. Get the fuck off of there.
Yep.
Get all those people out of there that don't know what the fuck they're doing.
The other thing, too,
they're horrible.
All these people, too, this is like a privileged paid position. These are not like when we were doing it, and I had like other people help me commentate. If they were a brick, who cares? But the expectation of Wizards commentary and what they do as their business is so far above anyone else.
Okay, let me give you one example, right? So I've been looking at like high-end sports cars because I can't afford them, but whatever. I'm getting older, and that's what you do, right?
And you look at high-end
You're
sports
just
cars.
Like, yeah, I like looking at like, but I look at like how Porsche or somebody would do that. Porsche doesn't go take a guy off the fucking internet and put him and say, hey, now go sell Porsches to all the millionaires out there who want them.
Yeah.
Because they would be like, who the fuck is this idiot? Okay, this is not what you're doing. Magic at the Pro Tour level is for the ultra-competitive person.
There's a reason that high-end sports cars have the most amount of advertising. Because people watching it can afford it, and that's what they're watching. Like,
also, you know
what? Built-in audience is here.
Here's what makes me so fucking angry. Modern is a format that's so complex that the turn is over. I watched Marshall and some other person do modern coverage where they were making jokes, and the whole turn, it was done. Turn 1, 2, 3, and 4, game was done. Oh, well, I guess we're going to match. Yeah. You just missed.
Let's just go to the sideboards. Like, that was the most exciting thing that happened.
You just didn't comment. Or they're like, well, turn one. Well, why don't you talk about how it's going to work and all the draws that could happen? Because they don't fucking know. Right. And then you listen to LSV, and LSV could put pause on the universe and talk for 30 minutes about every potential line that could explore. For a person playing Modern, that's what they need to get from the, I bought a Modern deck and I keep getting my ass handed to me, to saying, hey, I'm going to spend some money and go to high-end tournaments, which helps stores, yep, and the game and the prestige level of people sitting on the sidelines saying, man, I want to be that guy.
As if nobody wanted to be like them.
No shit.
Right? Like, if nobody knew who LSV was, he's not famous anymore.
No shit.
Who cares? Right? But people want to be like him. So teach them that there is an avenue to be like LSV, exactly, and it starts in the sandbox. And then it moves to the internet, where you're watching Twitch. Then ideally you tag into Magic Online because you're already on the internet, right? You get some money there. Then you move to your LGS when you're comfortable with playing the game. You know the rules because Magic Online taught you the rules. Yes. Because you can't fuck it up.
Yeah.
When you come into the store, you either say, hey, I'm new here and I'm going to play this piece of garbage. Or you say, I already know what deck I want to buy. And you save up for a couple months. You go and you drop the $500 and you're in. That's it. You're done.
Now, here's something that I really think Wizards needs to do right now, which is separate how they promote this game. And you have to promote it as, if you're the National Hockey League, you get Ron McLean, you get the one or two, there's less than five people in my hand that are good enough to comment the playoffs. You do not have Joe Schmo on radio. Like, you don't.
You do, and then no one watches, and then you fire, and then everything tanks. Like, it's so important.
But the point is, the playoffs are not, hey, it's the new set. It's the fucking, like, you know why they're like, hey, why don't people watch? You know why? Because I turn on SCG Live, and I go back, listen to Heavy Meta, episode, like, 1 to 10. I hated SCG. I hated what they were doing. They were greedy. And now all I can say is they are hands down the best coverage in the world.
Yep.
Patrick Sullivan and Cedric are the two. I think they're better than LSV. The two of them together, I watch them talk about Modern.
Yeah, because they have color and play-by-play, right?
They
Whereas,
don't.
Like, Gabby and...
No, the whole color... Well, okay, sorry. The whole color play-by-play needs to be shot out the window. Two pros. Two people that can play the game on a high level. That's the only...
But that's what's happening with Gabby, right? Is they're like, she's color. I'm like, well, that doesn't work.
She's not.
But that's what I'm saying.
She's
it doesn't work.
She's just an amateur person that doesn't even understand Modern.
The color in Magic commentating is your personality. Not joking about the game.
But guess what?
Right?
Good people like LSV are the color and the commentator. They're both.
But that's because there is no color. The color is LSV.
Right.
The commentary is what he's doing. Right? You need two commentaries with personalities.
Yes.
That's what Cedric and Patrick Sullivan have, right?
I don't just need
There is no color. They are color.
And you know what I don't want? In any game of Magic, what I don't want is one person to be paid to sit in a booth and say...
Jokes.
No, I'll pay a little bit for jokes. What I don't want to pay is, he tapped a forest. He attacked. What do you think? Oh, he just played a Death Shadow and Lightning Bolt. All you're doing is describing what's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
Worthless. That is fucking worthless. Closed caption is better than that.
Even when I watch a lot of my Magic coverage and like stuff that I covered personally and Cedric and LSB and other stuff, I watch a lot of it without watching the screen.
Of course.
Working away and I'll be doing it.
And you're listening.
That is a sign of what everyone in the commentary should be striving towards.
Yep.
Is that, are you entertaining enough to watch if the person who's watching is blind?
Well, okay, I will agree to some extent, but you have to remember, like, my views on coverage are about like modern vintage legacy cube, anything that's super high end. Standard and limited, I have a different view, which is, look, if you want to sell Kaladesh, my personal opinion is, have a great spoiler season. Have pay all the people on YouTube to make videos and talk about cards and don't bother with the fucking Pro Tour. The Pro Tour doesn't sell standard cards.
No, it doesn't. It's a gift to people who already play.
Right. But the point is, if they constantly keep shoving one thing in my face, which is casual sell most of Magic, the people who play standard are idiots and they're 10% of the game. Well, then why are you putting substandard people?
Why is 90% of your
that's bullshit.
Resources go into 10% of the game, right?
I just don't understand. Like, and then this whole thing about waiting the one... Okay, oh, it's $500,000, $250,000 for the guy who wins and shit for everyone else. Again, Magic is unlike any sport. It needs stability. Everyone who wants to play it's at a level that... You want to have stories of people coming back? You got to give them a train.
Make 30 sustainable pros as opposed to one big winner, right? Have 30. And the problem with Magic too is no matter how fucking good you are, no matter how much you practice, no matter how good your team is, there's variance.
Yeah.
And you can never take that away. So why would you give one person who had a good day and was lucky a $250,000 when LSV top eights every single thing that he plays?
It's poker. That's like watching poker. Well, I don't know, whatever.
I think it's worse than poker because are times where
you can
the bluff. Two best players have the two best hands, mm-hmm. and in poker, the river and the flop is bad for both of you.
Sure.
Whereas my deck shit on me and yours didn't.
Well, yeah, the worst part is the variance. Like,
of course. Can't take that out, so we need to embrace it. And by embracing it, you need to embrace more than one champion.
Yes, exactly. But it's even more than... I think what Wizards doesn't realize is there is people who pay, or there's people like that in my past, I'd spend $5,000 a year on Magic. Like absurd amounts of money that I'm ashamed to admit. Like when you're like, well, I'm buying 3 boxes of every set and now I'm chasing these rares and oh my God, someone tried to make me do foils now. It's like, okay.
That was me.
I know. But the point is, it's like, there's a point at which Wizards has to realize there is not just this casual person that doesn't know shit that wants to watch an amateur person explain bullshit. And make puns like, okay, we're all funny people in Magic. I think most people have a sense of humor. But the pun level of people who don't know what they're doing is, it makes me shudder to listen to how uncomfortable it is.
Yeah.
Stop it. We make the Pro Tour about make it the Olympics. It's the highest level of just that's all it is.
So what about this? What if we took all of the live feed bullshit that comes to the Pro Tour that they're trying to kill time with and replace that with some of the high-end pre-recorded material that they've already done?
No. You know what? Watching last week's SCG, when I watched Patrick and Cedric, those guys, my God, I almost want to give them, I'm like, go start your own Patreons and I'll pay you $20 a month. Because watching what they did was this. Hey, our match is over. It's Modern. And Patrick's hilarious because he's so dry. He's like, well, this is Modern. This is what you get. All right, let's pull up some calendars cards and talk about it. But here's what's so mind-blowing. The commentary he would give on cards was better than anything I've ever heard on any podcast, on anything ever. Because they're like, hey, here's a card. Well, here's what it do in Standard. Here's what it's going to do in Limited. Here's what it's going to do in Modern. Here's what it could do in Legacy. And,
because they're professionals.
And, oh, here's a funny joke about it. Isn't that great? Oh, and here's an ongoing joke, if you've been here listening for 3 hours, that I made, and it's still going, and we're fast, and we're sharp. And, I can't do that for 8 hours.
I watch them. Every time I wasn't casting, I would just watch them and just be like,
wow,
how do I absorb this? Because I can't learn it. It's because it's what they are.
It is.
It's who they are.
And for me, I'm like, that's the level I want to watch. Now, for FNM, like, they need to find a way to have a lower budget. Like, they do with this, the loaded ready run guys, right? And they're like, hey, I have a pre-release. That's great. That costs them nothing.
Yep.
That costs them, like, some product that maybe, I don't know,
literally nothing.
They gave them some bullshit $1,000 and a couple, like, Wizards is horrible, but okay. And then someone streamed it. I watched 1,000 people, 2,000 people were watching it. The brand, okay, now this is the thing, sorry guys, the brand new set, the thing they believe every single person is hyped, I need to see, there was, before anyone else, you got to see the interactions for anyone else, there was 1,000 people watching,
right?
What the fuck does that tell you?
And there's 50,000 people watching a person play CSGO, not a tournament, nothing for money,
well,
there's a dude.
Yeah, but so I have to talk about this. Magic is never going to be what...
an e-sport.
Right. It's not. It's not. Yeah. And Magic is chess.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If chess was on, I wouldn't watch it. But I'm not an active super chess player. I play casual chess.
Right.
So isn't that interesting, the parallels? I'm a casual chess player that has a board. I'll play with my kids or when people come over. But I'm not going to watch a chess tournament.
Yep.
So Magic has to...
No matter how good the commentary is.
Exactly. It doesn't. You're right. Gary Kasparov could be playing a ghost or a machine. Well, if he's playing a machine,
I may watch that. You'll probably watch that, yeah.
But if he's playing another high-level guy, I'm not watching.
Right?
Okay, and then, but you have to realize, does that mean chess should be targeting all the amateurs in the world? No. It means there's a small niche that makes money that is your, I would say it's the people that spend the most and who are heroes of the culture that I go into the store and I'm like, that's the guy. That's Rich Hohen. Rich Hohen is fucking awesome. I knew who he was. I saw him. Okay, and it's like, hey, can I get a few minutes to talk to him? But if they never allow this stage for those people to sit on, I don't know who these people are.
There's a reason that we borderline demanded Rich bring his trophies to the store, right? He was like, I have some trophies. Like, sitting on, like, you need to bring them to the store because we need to show people in store they can be you. And that's what people want to be. They want to be a hero. And when they see this giant trophy up here and all these plaques and all these finalists and all these champions, they don't even give a shit whose name's on it because Rich's name isn't on them because Wizards doesn't put your fucking name on anything but your Pro Tour ring.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. They say finalist. They say champion. They say, no. I'm not fucking shitting you.
They don't have your name on
it. Show you when we go
so
inside.
I could have one in.
Yep.
That's cool.
GP 2016 Louisville finalist. Here you go.
Are you
Thanks
serious?
For coming out, generic person. Handshake. So, but when people see that, we have his Pro Tour card beside them, and we explain the story, and we create the details and stuff.
That's, I can't even believe it.
Embarrassing.
I mean, could you imagine that? If you won a Formula One race, and they're like, well, here's a thing we bought for $15 off trophy.com. Lewis Hamilton.
Right.
What the fuck? I'm just saying, look, Magic in general, I have to talk about where I believe it's going right now, and the future of it, and I just think, like, everything I'm witnessing is greed culture, and it's like...
When we talked about the fifth rarity in the first place, you said this 6 months ago.
I said it like 2 years ago, when TSG was... We were joking. This was a joke.
Yeah.
Hold on. If you go way back, originally we were joking
that
the fifth rarity would exist, and TSG was the only one that said, you guys shouldn't joke, that's real. And I'm like, no way, they'll never
that's
do that.
That's so stupid, it doesn't work in the game.
It makes no sense, because it would wreck the game. Oh, well, here we are. Right? So here's the thing.
And this isn't a fifth rarity.
No, this is an ultra.
This is a fifth ultra rarity, right? If like I said, if we had one per 10 players, one per 20 players, that means three per pre-release.
That's like a mythic then. Because a mythic right now is like one a table. Well, actually, it's one to six. Because I didn't pull a mythic. Well, I did. In my first set, I pulled Nissa. But like...
I know. Like everyone did. Everyone pulled a mythic.
Did they?
Well, like, okay. So I pulled a mythic in my pack. You got one in your first set.
I didn't get any in my second.
Peter and Kelly both got Chandra. Like, there's mythics all over the place. And we said 74 pre-release packs.
Yeah.
Let's call it 20 mythics, which is low.
Sure.
Zero. Contraptions, whatever the fuck they're called. Yeah,
inventions, whatever.
Yeah, zero.
Also, can I just say this about the inventions? Why? Okay, Wizards bling. They told us this was going to be the most amazing printing process in the world. Hey, I'm a graphic designer. Guess what I do all day? I spec finishes on packaging.
Dude, you and I talked about this so deep, and the potential was massive.
The point that they could have, and I do this, used actual copper metallic ink.
Yeah.
On the card,
except
instead
you get platinum, gold, anything.
Finish,
yeah.
And the fact that they did double rainbow bullshit, I'm sorry.
Double rainbow is what makes people hate foil Magic cards. Because the double rainbow is reminiscent of the shitty FTV cards. But the double rainbow is actually kind of sweet, but every time I see it, it just makes me feel like my card is inferior.
Yeah.
Exactly. It makes me feel like I have a sort of body in mind that I'm never going
to
play.
And here's what's crazy. Okay, I have to talk about this. Who are those cards for?
Not me. Not even me.
Not even you. And
not even me.
They're not even for me.
No.
And you know what?
Just for the proxy guy, and he makes better cards anyways.
Fucking right. Honestly, you know what? Yeah, that's right. The cards I want are the proxy guy cards. I don't want these. These are for like...
They've missed us.
I don't even know what this is for, honestly, because Aether Vial selling for $174.
It's for greed.
It is. Okay, yeah. Don't let anyone tell you this is to make standard cheaper. This is 100% because of one thing. They got... Expedition crack in their veins, and you know what happened? Now this is very interesting. Okay, I haven't told anyone this, but when you listen to Mark Rosewater talk about one thing on the Kaladesh big thing they did, I don't know whatever the fuck,
like info blog at Gen Con or whatever. Yeah,
and he said this. He's like, it was a miracle that they got all those expeditions in the set, and I was like, well, why is that? And when I talked to Trick said, well, the expeditions. Why are they considered their own set? Why is everything about them like their own thing? It's because what happened is they released Shadows over Innistrad, and at that moment, they watched sales. And the people who make the decision said, why isn't this set selling as good as Battle for Zendikar?
Because there's no $100 golden ticket.
Because there's no lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And they said, can we put it in Eldritch Moon? No. What's the first set we can put these in?
Yeah.
Well, if we haven't gone to print yet on Cal, put it in the fucking set.
Get it in the set.
Now, talk to Vortho. Well, anyway, whatever. Talk to people in the industry who know what I'm talking about, and they'll tell you artists got like emergency commissioned for these works. So they threw them in Kaladesh because they're like, you know what? Fuck it.
We need it.
And to put that many means they were like scared, and they're like, we need to overload. Now, the future...
This is the same number as the last set, right? Like, this is the same as Battle.
No, there's 50 total.
So there's five
between
more.
Between two sets.
There's five more. Because there was 45 expeditions.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's the same
number,
like 30 and 25 or whatever, or 25 and 20 or whatever. But 25 random cards in a large set, which they don't have large sets anymore because they're just sets.
Exactly.
So, like, yeah, I'm listening.
But they're lottery tickets to the point where they're not even fun to open because I only, like, okay, if I had, I mean, I'd want four Aether Vial. That's the card I want. There's no chance I'm ever opening that. And if I open one, what am I going to do with it? I don't play most of those formats. I play Modern. So I'm going to trade it in for like half price.
$120 cash on our buy list the release day.
Well, and it's selling for like 175 American.
Something like that.
American, so it's like 225 Canadian. That's crazy.
That's not even the Mana Vault.
Well,
it never has a foil.
Okay, but all that, you know what? Some of that EDH and like vintage stuff, I agree with.
First time foils is what I agree with. That's big for me. First time foils. But to do Mana Vault again, that we just got Internal Masters, or Mana Crypt, sorry. We just got Foil Mana Crypt, and we get another Foil Mana Crypt, leads me to believe that what you're saying is correct, where they're like, put these cards in the fucking set.
Sure.
What's in them? Don't care. We just printed this. Well, don't care.
Well, they didn't
put them
care.
In the set.
Of course they didn't care. Well, that's the whole reason is they don't. And if people think, if they're sitting there saying, oh, they have a plan for reprints, they have a plan. They don't. They only care
about money. They have an idea, but no plan.
If you listen to Alpha Investments on YouTube, that guy, people say he's an idiot. I think he's a fucking very smart man if you listen. He's funny, and he says a lot of funny things. But if you understand what he's trying to tell you, and the fact that Wizards understands, they have a guy, and I guarantee they have a guy with a calculator, and they make cards. And he's like, well, the value of this will be this. And they purposely make cards. Some cards...
You know what? If you make Shogger 4-mana instead of 5-mana, she'll double in value. I'm sure that's someone's job.
Of course it was.
Someone's job.
Of course it was. Gideon does
what? What if we put Chandra in the Expeditions? Punch, punch, punch. Don't do that. Okay, we won't.
No, because she's a new card. Let her be new first.
Exactly.
Why did they put the Gearhawks? Because they can't have all the expeditions. He said,
they were like, okay, we got 20. What do we need? They're like, I don't know, 5 artifacts from the reset.
I bet they probably said, we can put all these other artifacts. And they're like, well, hold on, that's a lot. It's too much value. And they cranked it down. Because they're like, if you put way too much value, this set goes to complete shit.
Yeah.
They have to have that set be 10% cheaper than it last standard. They don't want it more than that. They want it just a little cheaper.
So you're still getting all maximum money.
All you people saying, oh my God, blah, 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 it's going to be so cheap to play standard. No, it's not. Guess what? It's not. You know why? Because fucking cartel aristocrats and guys that their job is to spec cards and talk them up to the moon to get you to buy them for the standard deck. The hot decks will be expensive. Fucking period.
Yep.
The low red-white aggro deck is always going to be dirt cheap. You know why? Because no one can sell those cards later.
Yep.
The potential modern or format cards... Everyone goes in on, and it's retarded.
Well, the other thing too that's super important to keep in mind is that when these like modern staples get printed, like you said, they're targeted. They know,
100%.
And it's all very like obvious. As soon as you take something, as soon as you scratch the surface, you're like, none of this is mind blowing. It's a business. They're out to make money. That's what they're trying to do,
and that's fine.
What sort of baffles the player is how much of the player's expense Wizards is willing to just not give a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't care about the play experience. Like, they care about the format and making it work, but they don't care whether you had a good time or not. Did you show up and spend money?
Yes.
Okay, can I get you to do that again? Yes.
Okay.
You will, as a Magic player,
sure.
In one of their sets, you will attach to something.
Yeah,
Whether it's Mirrodin or Amonkhet or whatever, you're going to find something you're going to be like, this is my set, and that's what they're trying to hit.
Because
after they've got everyone fucked, these do whatever the fuck they want.
Now, here's something that, like, I think they should, instead of making expeditions, again, it's like the Pro Tour, instead of having this super spiky $250,000 prize for one person, spread the value. I think, personally, full art promo Lightning Bolt, full art promo Texas Crypto Commands. Things like that where they said, hey, you know what? You spent $2,000 last year. Here's a play set of Lightning. Like, pick a modern card, Thoughtseize. Here's full art Texas Thoughtseize.
They're worthless.
For free.
But go for it.
For free.
Yeah.
Or, but the point is, if they did things where I, as a player, at the end of the day, feel like, I wasn't expecting any of this. This is awesome, and I am now epic brand.
But that's what they're trying to do with the expeditions, but you're not going to get duped.
But they're not.
But some people are. Some people are going to get duped because they're going to go to their pre-release, they're going to open their first pack, they're going to get a $500 card, and it's going to be perfect to them. But that's...
I've
seen it one in a thousand. Yep. Right? We've seen so many packs open. This isn't the truth. That's the idea, is that you're supposed to be like, go to pre-release, be like, you're going to have a great time, you're going to play with vehicles, you're going to do this stuff. Maybe you get a standard deck out of it. Maybe this. But we've now been, you and I, between the two of us, three pre-releases, and no one is coming out ahead.
No.
No one.
No. Not even close. Like, not even close. So, but value is something that, like, I get it. Okay, I get it. Like, if you went and played Zendikar when it was in standard, you're not coming out ahead. Like, it's... You play freaking red-white landfall, your deck is worth shit.
Yep.
Like, maybe if you got some Goblin Guys, but at the time, Goblin Guys was a $5 card. It wasn't a $40 card. So, like, okay. I understand that you have to look at playing standard and limited as going to the movies. So it costs you $50.
Money's gone.
You're getting an evening, and that's what it was. If you have some cards left over to remember, oh, that was neat, that's fun. If that's Wizards' business model, I can understand it, but it isn't, because they are purposely understanding that there is a secondary market, which they refuse to acknowledge, but they know they game everything to it, which is bullshit, and everything, like, okay, Modern Masters 3, it's not going to be in Vegas. What the fuck's going on there?
That, you and I have talked about this a couple times, and like, I can't figure it out. I can't put my finger on it, because what they're doing
Eternal
in Vegas...
Eternal Masters, no limited GP.
Right?
I don't know, like... I'd really like to know.
If I'm going
to
watch...
I've talked to people on the inside. I'm not going to say who. And they have told me... They won't tell me, like, anything really, but the read between the lines. And they're like, I don't know why either. So, certain people who have control over these events, they don't know why. So, don't think it's the people that are, like, deciding, hey, we can put an event here. It's not them. It's people above them that are saying, hold on. That's a cash cow. Just fucking let it cash out. Don't open too much.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, whatever, man. I get it.
But honestly, an Eternal Masters or a Modern Masters is the only limited coverage I would watch.
Because it's modern cards. And do you know why you'd watch
it? Because I know the interactions. I feel like I know what's going on. I feel like this deck is something I could relate to.
But it's also the power level.
Of course. Right? Well, I mean, like, even if...
Sure.
I'll take one more, too. Thanks.
Right. What do you... Right. When you come back, we'll order.
Yeah. Again, like, if I'm watching... But again, cool. You give me the best limited GP ever. You give me the best cards ever. And then you put some fucking donut on there telling me... It's game over. It doesn't matter how good the cards are.
Exactly, right?
It doesn't matter. If everything doesn't fall into place, it's a wash.
Then it's pointless. But I agree. Like, for me, I don't think they understand people going to Modern Masters... Like, even an Eternal Masters event, if, like, 3,000 people showed up...
You're allergic to peanuts, right?
Yeah, I'm allergic to peanuts.
Tacos.
All right. You're listening to us order food. Yeah. I hope you like this.
This is the proof they were out for dinner.
This is the chef. We gotta come up with a name for this.
Yeah. Well, we'll call it... Well, we don't have the chef's table anymore, this might be the chef's table.
This is called dining out.
Dining out.
No, it's called tapping out.
Oh, nice. All right.
Just, we're so good at this.
Right, insert applause here.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass this off to Ken, too. He comes up to me at the pre-release, and he's like, insert applause here. And I was like, dude, you're the best. Also, let me know next time so I can pay for your pre-release. Every time, like, yo, I'll pay for your pre-release. And he shows up. I was like, damn it. I never give you anything for doing this. I should at least buy you a new pre-release.
No, but like, if they, all right, here, hold on, beers.
You're in trouble now. Yeah, you're in trouble now.
Wait, what are you doing, fish taco?
Yeah.
Those are really good.
Fish tacos? Yeah, I've had them before. They're good.
That's a snacky.
We have calamari,
no, what do you got that's in a buffalo spicy?
Buffalo spicy. We have wings. they're just wild game.
What are buffalo chicken spuds?
It's like poutine with spicy cut up chicken fingers on it.
You should work here.
I basically do.
I just started, so I'm going
to... I'll take some chicken tenders with buffalo sauce. The fries, whatever.
Yeah, that's what you want.
I'm sure there's
it's
something
good.
Like that.
That's good.
If we don't have a sun, so I'm going to add it as an extra.
Sure, throw them in there. We'll snack on it.
And you just want the fish box.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Intermission over.
Yeah.
Message brought to you by the frickin' No, but like if you look at modern and you look at like the sets that they're releasing, and it's funny because I said this like 2 years ago, they need to move to a modern Eternal format, which is coming true.
We've talked about it.
And
yep.
It's going to happen. I never saw Expeditions, which I believe at another level of... I know I said that there's not enough reprints because it's good. I'm actually going to say that this is going to be too much. Like, if Modern Masters doesn't move to 3 years, or like they don't do another Eternal Masters, I think they got to slow the horse. Because, and here's why. Look at Conspiracy. It's a print-to-demand set that Wizards will print it for a year as much as you want. The cards in that set should be worth nothing. Yet, every vendor saw that and said, fine, we'll play your game. We're not ordering any. Thoughtseize went down to $3, and then that night, the internet was bought out and it's back up to $9.
High Inquisition.
Not Thoughtseize,
yeah,
Inquisition,
yeah.
Right? Which I was like, what the fuck?
And the new one's more than the old one.
What? Like, and the art is garbage. Sorry. Art.
Hey, everyone loves it.
I hate it. It doesn't look like anything.
To be perfectly honest, too, the foiling on the Conspiracy cards is, like, a little more consistent than some of the old foiling, which makes me believe, and I don't know if this is fact, I'm just talking to my ass here, that maybe they're not going to bend as much. Like, maybe Conspiracy was, like, a test of a new foiling process to, like,
really
try it up. They
so,
look,
so Conspiracy
they look,
foiling
they look,
was better than Modern Masters 2?
No.
What? Because Modern Masters 2 is dark and shit.
It was better, but it felt similar in the way that the whole card was foiled. Remember how we were saying?
Yeah.
Remember how you're like, I'm not sure if the art's foil or the border's foil or the frame's foil? The whole card is foil.
Yeah.
And I think if you did that, you're the printing guy. You're the guy that knows about stuff like this.
Yeah,
like,
but
if you foil one side and not foil the other side, they're going to curl. End of discussion. Correct? Because they're
but
different
you
materials?
You can't double foil it because it would be so heavy in the pack that you could... They even said that with the new Japanese cards, the new print stock. They're like, you can tell. If you go picking all your lands Japanese, you could play... That's gameable. And they're like, don't do that.
So does that
Which
mean...
It also shocks me if you want to get into the deep conspiracy hole. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
Why did they...
To make cards A, cheaper, and B, harder to counterfeit at the same time?
Nailed it. No. Well... Okay, so what I've learned about
they're not
this,
cardboard, they're going to be cheaper.
Okay, hold on. I've learned a lot about this.
You did advertising or something?
Yeah, I know. Oh. I know. I work in print stock. So when they announced that, I called all the people that, like, when we do jobs, and they're like, we have to buy 40 tons of cardboard to run off, I don't know, some new ass cream for some company.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
They're like, okay, well, what do you got? And they send me samples. And I was like, so what do you have that's a super fine cardboard that is counterfeit proof? And they were like, oh, well, we have all these, like, different products. And I'm like, there's some proprietary formulas that, like, they won't allow you to do. But I'm like, well, what if I wanted? They're like, well, we'll make you whatever you want. You know, when you're spending $1 million,
yeah, exactly.
You
if you're going to pay for it, who cares?
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, what's recyclable in this? And like, oh, well, here's the thing. So if you're doing a full color job, that means you're inking 100% of the surface.
Both sides or one side? Doesn't matter?
Well, both sides, right? The point is what they say is it doesn't matter what's underneath, right?
Sure.
So they're like, you can use an off-white. So they're telling me that you can use recycled paper, which if you believe this, actually using recycled materials is more expensive than using bleached, white, horribly bad, fresh stuff.
That's the way things work.
But in Japan, they have rules. And so they have financial rules, like... If you use a certain percent of recyclable material, the government gives you a tax break. Also, in Canada...
Wizards be printing out of Japan, then. I can't figure it out.
Well, it's for their own... It's for the people that distribute. So the distributors in Japan said, hey, it's expensive here. If you do this, then everyone down that chain gets a kick. So even if it's a couple percent, it's a lot of money. That adds up to millions of dollars.
Sure does.
Canada also has similar things, but they don't enforce them. But you look at China. You look at how they're counterfeiting the shit out of things. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of counterfeits, and I've seen some that when they're in a sleeve, I personally...
I literally have some in my deck right now that I can show you that if I held it up 3 feet away from you...
Oh, 3 feet. I'm talking...
You'd be like, okay, that's real. And then I give it to you a foot away, and you're like, can I take it out of the sleeve?
Okay.
And then you're using your hand, and you're like, this is fucking fake.
Okay, and I...
It's those steps.
I have one next level for you. So I paid $250 from each for my Tarmogoyf. And I know they're real because I didn't give it a talk, did I? No. Anyways.
Because we talked about it.
Yeah. So I've gotten my hands on an actual latest generation Tarmogoyf that is the same as the one that is real. And I can feel that one is slipperier and it's slightly off. But in a sleeve, they're unrecognizable. Now, here's what's insane. If you take that fake card and you take an old t-shirt and you rub it on that t-shirt about 50 times and then flip it over and do the same, you kill the gloss on that. And you also make it look like it's a slightly played card. Very, very hard to tell.
So if you have one of these, if you've interacted with one, how, like, the light test and the bend test are the easiest things to fake.
Sure.
Those are the easiest. Did you get the proper stock? Yes. Did you put this layer in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to rip it? No.
Boom. Those are easily.
And so
the next biggest thing that they need to perfect, exactly like you said, the dot matrix is the next beyond that. You need to be able to have someone touch this card and not be suspicious.
Well, this is what.
Right? And once you take that gloss off, they feel like playing cards. They feel like a bite.
Well,
you touch it and you're like,
yes, because they're using
the word blind and tell you this is not real. Right? Yeah. But once they get the tactile sense, then there's only the only thing that's left is the dot matrix.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you this.
Once the dot matrix is fake, that's a real fucking card. Once the card stock is correct, the texture is correct, and the dot matrix is right, you're not printing fakes, you're printing real cards.
Yeah, you are. You're 100% printing. Well, here's even worse than this. The reason the dot matrix is slightly a bit of a scam is this. When Wizards prints at a location, the way the printing process works is they take vector artwork, that's high-res illustration, and they put it in a PDF, and then they create what are called plates. And those plates are actually large polycarbonate, like clear discs, and there's one for every color. CMYK, cyan, magenta, yellow, and black.
Yep.
And they put those together, and that's what you, when you see the dots, it's little dots of those four colors.
They're basically printing pixels.
Right. Now, here's what's mind-blowing. When they send that same PDF file to another printer in another part of the world, in Germany, where let's say they do a European print run,
or China,
their dot matrix
Japan,
is
actually
different. It's not the same every time. So it's subtly different. So a lot of people, like, why they look at counterfeits is because they scan. Once counterfeiters stop scanning cards and go to build real vector duplications, it's over, man.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of work.
Because the card stock is easy. You just need to find somebody who's willing to print on it.
Right.
What did you make a few phone calls and then you have like people calling you back being like, I'll print you whatever you want. It wasn't that hard, was it?
Well, they're also doing they're not doing super large scale runs on Heidelberg presses, which is why,
obviously,
it's subtly off.
Yeah.
But Heidelberg press, a used one now, it's going to cost you $300,000. So you're telling me China isn't going to fuck it?
$300,000 is peanuts.
Dude, right? And the fact that, it's old technology now means, I don't know, man. I think there's gonna come a point over here. This is because, okay, what I didn't want to lose my train of thought on. So why did I bring that up? Because we were talking about how the game's getting cheaper. Why did I bring that up? It's because I believe the number one thing Wizards is going to do as a countermeasure to counterfeiting is fuck over every collector and destroy the value of the game. Because once they do that, it's not worth counterfeiting. And that is...
printing money anymore. You're not making $250 cards. You're making $5 cards. It costs you more money to make them than it is worth.
When they get cards... Yeah, there's always going to be the chase card.
Sure.
Tarmogoyf is only $160 now. I mean, shit. You could get them from people online. You go on Twitter.
The other thing, too, is if someone counterfeits good Tarmogoyfs and they make 10,000, they're going to be in there. They'll be... in the stock.
Yeah. But those cards are...
whatever.
But those cards are running... you can only do that so many times.
Exactly.
And then
you get your one run of Goyfs, where you're like, boom, Goyfs are in the system. okay, need to pick a new card, and nothing's as expensive as a Goyf.
Well, Cavern of Souls, like, there's other cards.
Right? But they all go down in value for the same amount of work and money.
Right. Well, the whole point is now, I remember 2 years ago when they were selling Pax Dual Lands, which, in my opinion, that will never stop, because they're never reprinting Dual Lands, and Dual Lands are always going to be worth a shit ton. So the most counterfeiting will be in Reserve List Gardens.
Obviously. I totally agree with that, because those are ones that are already worth trying to counterfeit.
And also, they're so good at this point, I think they're... Again, it's only touch. It's only touch that holds them back.
Like you said, if someone in the counterfeit industry printed 100,000 Goyfs right now, and then Modern Masters 3 comes out,
sure.
Who gives a shit? If you start printing Reserve List cards, people pay attention.
Well, they already are.
Right?
Like, you can go on 4chan, and there's like 25 guys.
Easy.
And you just say, hey, I want this. Sure.
Yeah.
You can... They're selling a cube! The biggest joke is, 2 years ago, we were talking about, like, why don't they make a cube product? China's making it! China sells you a 1,000-card cube based off of on Cube Tutor, the top cube. They're like, pick your Cube Tutor cube, and it's like $1,000, a dollar a card. And they'll send you your fucking cube. So, like, and cube is a format where it doesn't even matter.
You're literally buying a board game at that point, and that's fucking sweet. You're telling me I could have, if I spent $1,000, I could have whatever 1,000-card, 750-card cube I want plus basic lands, and all I have to do is buy sleeves?
No.
You're fucking right, I'm in.
Now here's the next level where I think Wizards needs to go. Wizards, and this is going to sound, people are going to turn this stream off and they're going to throw, I guarantee you, they're just going to throw shit at the phone. Like, they're not going to like what I'm going to have to say. I think what Wizards needs to do is they need to release a cube set, maybe 250, make four sets, 250 cards a piece, sell it for $250 or even $500, all foil new art.
Not real Magic cards.
Foil border. No black.
Sure. Like a silver border.
You do something where that...
guys
that and you can honestly do... Honestly, I think you could do a black border because it's not a card. It's just different.
Correct.
And it's not the same art. So nothing about it is what... is. It's like a comic book. It's like doing an alt variation cover.
You're basically trying to sell people cockatrice.
Exactly.
Right? And people love cockatrice. I know fucking pros that use cockatrice.
They do. Cut that out, Ken. Cut that out.
I mean, someone else.
Ken, if you're listening, just put applause over the
hill. Yeah, applause. Kelly anyway, just walked into the room.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Look, what I'm saying is this. Like, if they did something like that, they would not only single-handedly destroy the Chinese, like, ability to do anything, but they would offer something that everyone wants.
Yeah.
Which is a foil, the pimpest ass version. Now, I get it. They're like, oh, no, we're not. Well, this is what masterpieces are. The whole point is we're trying to gouge the fuck out of you, so you chase this bullshit lottery game.
As opposed
and you
to,
make the all expedition masterpiece.
As opposed to giving you what you want.
But like,
for money.
But again, that is going to cost you $50,000. Like, it's probably going to be absurd. It made me $100,000. Like, I don't know. It's going to be absurd. And I don't know anyone besides TSG, he's the only idiot, sorry TSG, that I know that would spend that kind of money on a thing. When in reality, I would personally give Josh, the proxy guy, $5,000 in cash and say, can you make me a custom amazing set? Now, he said no, he will never do it again because he's sick of it and he doesn't do that. But he's also just like, it was worth more than that.
Oh,
even he doesn't take money, but he's like, no, Matt. Like, I even said, I'm like, whatever you want. He's like, no, it's too much work.
Not the point, yeah.
So the amount of work that went into it is like, it's a one of item. That's why in Vegas, I need to play that with you.
No, and I know.
And I want to have an experience because that's, to me, what a GP is. It's having this. So could you imagine if Wizards did something like that where they said, hey, Helen, we're making 100 limited edition all foil cubes with new art, or maybe not even new art because it's crazy, but they print something really nice and you have guards or judges and you create these tables where you pay $20, you sit down and you cube.
Check this out.
Oh my god, we can't do that. Yes, you fucking can.
Check this out. You go to Vegas, Helen's got the cubes.
You win the cube, you get a card.
No, you pay $50, you win the cube, you get the cube.
Wow. Well, that's a lot. You can't let people have the cube.
Dude, these aren't real cards.
If the back said, gee, you know what?
Yes.
Okay, go back and listen to the episode. I know I've said this, where I said, like, the back of the card shouldn't be the Magic back. It should be GP Vegas 2017 and, like, have some signatures, some famous people. And it's, like, this limited edition collector's thing that was only at that event.
Yep.
That's what – things like that need to start happening.
Yep.
If you want to make these events huge, this is what you need to do. You got to stop investing all this time and money in other things where you're failing
like
at.
Poor coverage, right?
But if you're not going to do coverage right, then don't fucking
exactly.
Do it. Get, let SCG run the
stop paying
show.
For shitty coverage.
Also, you know what? I'm sorry, but I know that SGG Live or whatever the fuck Rashard Miller garbage thing, because he's all buddy-buddy with everyone, giving people suck-off jobs in the back. There's no way he wants to have SCG, because I'm like, hey, just hire SCG for one event. Just let them do one pro tour. No, they won't even allow that because they fucking annihilate.
It's going to embarrass them, right? It's going to embarrass
them. They would annihilate everyone, and people would be like, oh, yeah, never do that again. Just always have those people back and fuck everyone
else. Yeah, we quit.
But, like, they need to start to take things a little more serious that you're juicing everyone for so much money that the average person is treating the game as disposable. And that is not good.
It's not good. No.
So moving forward, if the values are crushed, which is a balancing game, trust me, I'm the guy who says I want cheap things for more people to play. But I also understand that it's not an all or nothing. It's a balance of understanding what's going on. And I'm not sure Expeditions are the way to do it. Or Mass, whatever the fuck this thing moving forward.
Fifth rare.
I'm scared. It is. It's fifth. Let's just call it fifth rare.
Yeah.
Ultra Mythics, right? And I'm not sure if that's the way to do it. Because they're almost unattainable. Like, I don't know. Am I going to drop $1,000 for four cards?
Like you said.
I don't know.
That's crazy. This is the weekend that a majority of the packs are going to be open in the shortest amount of time.
Well, no. That's not true. No. Because, no. When in the next couple weeks when all the boxers online, like the guys who have online stores.
Online's different. Okay, I guess the stores are like.
Percentage of volume product? By consumers, I agree.
Sure, yeah, okay. Let's go by consumers. So the availability of the cards that you're looking for with a price point that isn't dictated by somebody who has created the market.
Right.
Is zero.
Exactly.
Even if you wanted these cards, you couldn't get them. If you're willing to pay what you ask for them, they don't exist. So you can't.
Yeah, but like, okay, so I've heard this, and tell me if you think this is crazy. In 18 months... Right. If you look at Expeditions and you look at the value of what they're at now, right, it's just steady decline.
I just sold my entire set of Expeditions.
That's insane. That's crazy. But like, if you look at like where everything's going, who's buying these cards? I really want to know because at first when they spoiled them, I was hyped. Like I was like, oh man, and I'm like, oh, because the hype, you know, it's the crack in the veins, man. I'm there. But when common sense came to me, I'm like, that's just not smart. That's crazy. $1,000 for four fucking cards that I don't even have time to play? That's stupid.
You already have.
Yeah, well, I already have
them. These aren't even new cards that you're getting. You already own. You're paying $1,000 to look at them.
It's the mentality of human beings to chase.
Sure.
Right? And that's a danger that, like, you wonder why the LCBO and cigarette companies and lottery tickets all make so much money?
To chase.
Right? But do you want this game to be that? Because I think the game isn't that. It had an aspect to it for a long time, but it's gotten worse. Oh, look at that. That's crazy.
I've done this before.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Those are great.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to end part one of this insane in-depth.
Yeah, we'll pause for dinner.
Incredible math.
Yeah.
I'm having a better time than you. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's walking home to his wife, so that's...
I got one. I got
He's going to be his wife before you are, so...
I like the drive.
All right.
A bubble all day.
You got a nice car. You got a nice car. It's okay.
Wait till I have a Porsche. Then I'm like, fuck, I'm going to...
You're like, I'll see your wife and my wife. What's up?
No, but like, if you think about it, you're like, heavy metal underground. The underground shop. The shop in the underground.
Even if it was just the heavy metal outlet.
Just heavy metal. It's a heavy metal store. It's like heavy metal. I go to heavy metal. Heavy metal has a store? Yeah. When's the next Toronto GP so we can come go? We can sit in this.
You know how many degenerates just want to come? Yeah.
Take pictures in front of the sign? Like if you. If
imagine if the front door was the token frame. Just walk in the front door and you're like, this is awesome.
If you really wanted to like do something as a test, I would go MA18. I'd do the shop as if it's like. Not kid friendly. Like, sure, during the day for fun. But, like, as I marketed the store, I'd market the store as, like, I'm gonna swear. I'm gonna talk, like, bullshit, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it's gonna be like, oh shit, kids, you know, you have to analyze
the market. There might be a switch where it's like 7 p.m. and we can unlock.
The black lights on?
It's just like a starlight of horrifying, like, just horrifying bodily fluids everywhere.
But to do things like that where you're like, hey, at a certain time every day, the store goes heavy metal dark.
We become heavier.
No kids allowed.
Right now it's meta.
Yeah.
Later it becomes heavy meta. Yeah.
It's nuts. Or it's heavy during the day and then it's like lead at night. It's lead. And then you could do like hilarious things where you're like, oh, like, see, you know what would be, if I was going to do this, I would do it like, I would have inside, like, metaphors and inside jokes and secret hidden meanings that
everywhere.
Only two people may get, but like crazy little things all over, like a little like hand that like 48 inches and it's like, are you this tall?
And just saying, you're not an idiot.
Never acknowledge it. Just people are like, what's that?
Don't worry about it.
You're fine.
Yeah.
And like one guy walks in, you're like, whoa, 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 go back. All right, you're good.
What's your name again?
No, you don't even ask his name. He's like, go back, go
straight. Oh, but I might know who he is.
No, okay. Yeah, you're the midget.
Yeah, take off your helmet.
But then people are like taking pictures like you know, like that. Yeah, it's no big. Sorry. I haven't seen him in like 3 months. So.
We're making history here.
If you believe the game won't die in the next 5 years, I would open more stores. And frankly, there's a lot of people running comic stores that are 60 years old.
It would be smarter to do it sooner rather than later, too.
Yes. I don't think the game is going to die.
I don't think so either, but...
I think the movie will be the cash-out point.
That'll be when it starts to...
No, well, that'll be when everyone is like, just... Money! They're going to ultra-rare, mythic foil, everything! I wouldn't even be surprised if they break the reserve list and just go mega. Because they're like... Imagine if it's a bullshit failure movie, but the hype alone is going to quadruple traffic. So, Wizards is like, oh, epic. They're four-time printing now. Four times what they're making. And once those people in the boardroom, Bob's like, yo, Bob, we made four times. Whoa, the next set? Eight times. Print it eight times. Well, no one's buying. Fucking put Black Lotus on. They're gonna do it. They're gonna do it.
It sounds so cold when you say it like that, but I don't think you're wrong, right?
I've sat in meetings. Do you think anyone cares about anything but money?
No.
I sat in meetings where I'm like, hey, your product, for 1 cent, 1 penny, you could take this horrible ingredient out that is proven to kill people and put this healthy ingredient in that does more. And actually, we have health claims. And they're like,
just straight up now.
No. It's 1 cent. Matt, that's 10 million units. That's $1 million. Or it's $100,000. Like, for... And I'm like, wow.
You're like, but it's a far, far superior product that we can stand behind and sell. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, too many words.
Hey, market what we give you. Don't tell us to change. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Some small... I like dealing with smaller clients because they're like, really? Oh, wow. And, like, they want more information on how to build a business and then sell this to the fucking max.
Yeah.
Wizards just wants to sell shit to the max. But you are the end-chain distributor, and you're offering something that Wizards can't put in a box, which is an experience, right? That experience isn't going to go away, even if Magic dies. Because
correct.
I tell you this. the expectation of the experience is there. If Magic blows it up, the next game is going to be in there like a dirt. You don't think Force of Will wanted that Magic money? Like, the next game will be made within months. And everyone will be like, Magic's bullshit. This store is off now. And maybe it'll be a rough year jumping around products. One of them will click. And then it's not going to die. And you don't think Magic Redux is going to happen? All right, we realize we made some mistakes. We're restarting the game. Oh, like Spider-Man? You mean Spider-Man number one? Yeah, it's Magic number one. And they'll do that.
Magic first. It's yeah. Alpha printed again.
So everything that existed doesn't exist anymore. We're starting Magic Alpha with a brand new set. Everything is...
New back.
Nothing is... Yeah.
Done. That's it. New back and it's all changed.
See?
Right?
So they even have a backup plan. So Magic won't die ever. It won't. If you look at Spider-Man, they made four fucking origin movies in a row. Four back-to-back
in a row, yeah.
And people are like still going to see it.
Yeah, because there's some people that enjoy that, and there's some people that can't help it.
I want a giant growth from my elf. I want a lightning bolt your elf. Oh, that never gets
me. I want a gliding bolt your guy. I want a giant growth in response.
A sonic blast.
Boom. Yeah, I got to do that the other day. It's fucking sweet.
Like, it's so much fun. Like, it's not going to change.
Yeah, it was sweet.
But if I'm telling you, like...
If somebody told me I had to go play this game that I love, the old school style, at a store with a bunch of miserable fucks...
Oh, well,
I would find a new game.
But I don't want to do anything with miserable fucks. In fact, why do you think I live in a bubble and don't interact with a lot of people? Because, frankly, most people I don't like.
Yeah.
And I've crafted a life where I can choose not to interact with jerks. And I don't. Because I hate them. You know? But when I get a chance to interact with... there's no distance I won't travel.
Right.
But I think a lot of people want that same experience.
And there are people that tell me that every day. When they come into a store, they're like, there's a reason I come here.
You're telling me this. Heavy Metal's opening a store. What the fuck? Oh, whoa.
Can you just imagine that? It's like one tweet from you that said, I'll be at Heavy Metal store for the grand opening, and that's it. Just literal insanity.
I would just say, I can't be on the cast anymore because I'm opening the face of the Heavy Metal store. Yeah, oh, Tony.
Right. Internet broken. Game over.
What? Yeah. It's the best. Yeah, we know it is.
Like, it will be awesome every day. Right? Like, Heavy Metal. Awesome every day.
But could you imagine? Like, you probably have people wanting to leave other stores to be like, can I get out on this? Because frankly, I don't want to work in a game store that's boring. I want to work in a fun one. And people want to go to a game store that's fun.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, I love Heavy Metal After Dark. We do 7 p.m. to 11 o'clock for all you old men.
4 p.m. to 7 p.m. is Apprentice League, and after that, get out. After that, be aware. Yeah. Like,
just get the fuck out.
You don't have to leave,
but you gotta
if this is what happens.
No, you don't have to go home, but you can't be here.
Yeah, you can't be here anymore.
Yeah.
And tell, like, every single person, like, you all have to leave, and then 80% of them just walk around and walk in the back door because they know. But, everyone gets kicked out at 7 o'clock and then it sort of just starts jumping again.
Here's the one thing that I always laugh at. What happens when you tell an audience, hey, you can't be here? Why? Because it's going to get crazy. Well, I got to be here now.
I have to be here.
Well, I got to be here. Well, you can't.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be here.
You know?
Yeah, it's not safe.
I'm going to tell all my friends. I know you will.
Hey,
I don't even need advertising.
Nobody is allowed to come to the Heavy Metal opening because it will be unsafe. Don't come. Don't come.
I mean, you could do a... I mean, just with that alone, dude, you could make that pretty cool. And even if you wanted to start it a little softer, you know, you could. It doesn't have to be hardcore, but it just would be a chance.
Take me to the basement. Let me count the holes in your foundation. Ancient ridicule system alert. Kissing my lurk. The perch of red grimace on iron mask. I remember science class. If chemistry could silence the lion's laugh, I'd be fine. Failed to meddling up. Adrenaline trades. The leaves that walk the plank before the crimson struck a match this season. Meridian carpet'll jolt your logic when the burn earned itself normalcy for 20 plus. Run amok or sink. Swim's not an option. Applied the lipstick slow. Slow enough for me to bask in. Fast enough for me to wish it lasted past my alarms cackling. The front line of its mystiques giggles my proposals. Bargains for the ogres who prefer the roller coaster. Well, that'll sip the blood of merry men. That'll grace holiday carols with a merry end. Spiral past the autocrats. Exhale into vinyl wrath and pirate your local rain puddle torturous. Trying to shake polyfish off your dorsal fins. Let's dive through the archive Xanax on frantic planets. Stamp it with a notable brand to reap the profit. See, I don't know hell, but I've read a about it often. Sounds like a dope concept gone wrong. No
take me to the basement. Let's zoom into that war pick.
Take me to the basement.
Let's disassemble the core's rotation.
If you choose to build it, you'll die by the tools you build.
So make some noise for all your predecessors. Reppin' sturdy
privilege. To the basement.
Let's deny the nervous room.
Take me to the basement.
Let's review the heart's ramifications.
If you choose to build it, you'll die by the tools you build.
So make some noise for all your predecessors. Reppin' sturdy privilege.
To the basement. Let's remove the costume you escaped in.
Hold up your legacies. I'll tell you which one's my favorite.
Hold up your alacrity of innocence.
I'll teach you about the perks of patience in seminar format.
What?
I've won that hat for 7 years. That's why it's discolored, ragged, and shitty.
I ain't about to toss it when it's been through all these dream wars with
I'm
me.
An undercover prophet. Thrift shop garb. I'd rather starve than sit inside this gridlock until it parts.
This tailor-made routine ain't suiting me. It's tight around my neck like 13 loops wrapped in an apple box.
Heartless harvest of mine. I'm tired of pissing benediction.
Maybe it ain't healthy, but sometimes I'd rather burn than let you help me.
It's getting brisk.
Brick as fuck.
My skin ain't thick enough. These icicles ain't civil.
Right.
How many freezer-burn victims can one society on tilt manufacture prior to higher being intervening just to release last laughter?
And every tree trunk's made of third rails with tourniquet branches.
And I learned to walk with an anchor in my back pocket.
And man, I read palms during even the most brief handshakes.
And man, I ain't alive to pull the weeds around the spotlight.
Well, I'm wallowing, following my little lost princess to the promised land.
Hollering my potent slogan, hell if Nostradamus can.
Conquering these open roads with throttle pinned to floor.
Cause I'ma win right after I finish these
take
chores.
Take me to the basement.
Let's zoom into that war pick.
Take me to the basement.
Let's disassemble the chords rotation.
If you choose to build it, you'll die by the tools you build
so make
with.
Some noise for all your predecessors. Reppin' sturdy grillin'.
Take me to the basement.
Let's deny the nervous room.
Take me to the basement.
Let's review the heart's ramifications.
If you choose to build it, you'll die by the tools you build.
So make some noise for all your predecessors. Reppin' sturdy grillin'.
Take me to the basement, basement, basement. Take me to the basement, basement. Take me to the basement, basement. Take me to the basement, basement, basement. Take me to the basement, basement, basement. Same. Take me to the basement, basement. Take me to the basement, basement. Same. Take me to the basement.
Harm done the human race has been done by the poets.
Well, poets are dull boys, most of them, but not especially fiendish.
They keep filling people's heads with delusions about love, 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 love.